Father, we glorify you. We thank you for today. We pray, oh God, for illumination from your presence this morning or this evening. We pray for enlightenment. We know that your light leads us, into the place of life. Your light and counsel guides us into your very presence. And we know that the promise is that where you are is where we will be. To you be all the glory, Father. So I just want to briefly touch the tabernacle today. The tabernacle, like we know, was a structure, a temporary structure that the Israelites, constructed in the wilderness. So the tabernacle, like I said, is a structure that God commanded the children of Israel to construct. It was to serve as a kind of house. It's a kind of temple where God was to dwell in the midst of the Israelites. And locked up in this tabernacle is the mystery of life. Locked up in this tabernacle is the mystery of divinity locked up inside man. You see, men are ignorant of the fact that within them there is the totality of the glory of God. You see, we're all used to looking for some kind of consolation outwardly. We're all used to looking for some kind of consolation without. See, we've been taught and, instructed to look out for help from without. See, but like Jesus answered, the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. This was Jesus' response to the scribes and Pharisees when they asked about the kingdom of God. You know, many religions today still think of the kingdom of God coming from without. Many people expect that maybe there will be a new world, a beautiful world, and everything without. If you look at Jehovah's Witness, they have their own vision of what the new age will be, the coming of God's kingdom. Even the Hebrews, in their own tradition and beliefs, always felt that there was some kind of coming externally of the glory of God. But they never realized to this very day that the kingdom of God is where? Is within you. The kingdom of God is God's dwelling place, where God's presence can be found. Where God's glory and perfection can be found is hidden within every man sitting here today. Indeed, it's a great mystery. Paul calls it the mystery of the ages. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the mystery that the ancients, Abraham, great men of God, sought after. But they never could get the understanding, the mystery of the city within. The indwelling presence of the living God. Praise God. Now, some moments ago, our daddy had a vision of a palm tree. Coconut tree, palm tree, they're the same thing. He had a vision of a palm tree. And the palm tree, normally in the Bible, if you read through the Psalms, the Bible talks about trees, the palm trees, the trees of God, the trees of righteousness. The trees of God that are planted in the house of God. You see, later on in the temple of Solomon, you had the palm tree that was normally, they had decorations of the palm tree within the walls of the tabernacle. So that when you enter into the temple, what you see along the wall was palm tree, a cherubim, that's an angel, a palm tree, an angel, a palm tree, an angel. That was all the design around the temple of God. And the temple of God was pure gold. Gold talks of what? Incorrupt, something that is incorruptible, something that is divine, something that is eternal, immortal. It can never rust, it can never wear away, it never passes away. You see, those are the palm trees. The palm trees are people who are planted in the heart of God. See, people who live by the divine light of God. They have eternal life. And that is the life that God came to give us. That is the light, the life that Christ came to give us today, eternal life. See, life that never passes away. For we know that the life of the natural human being will what? Pass away. It is passing away daily. See, as the clock ticks, the outer man is what? Perishing. It's fading away. See, but God is showing us a passageway today to eternal life. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a very, very great thing. The Bible says that through the gospel, Jesus has brought to light the mystery of immortality and light. He has brought it to light. He has brought it to our understanding, to our knowledge, the mystery of immortality and light. It's a great thing. It's a thing that has eluded man for ages and continues to elude man. See, as long as man remains deaf, unable to hear the voice of the Spirit, that mystery will continue to elude him. But today we have a chance to be like the palm tree that is in the house of God. The palm tree continues to yield fruit even in 100 years old. You know, normally trees die off and they fade off and but the palm tree has a way of maintaining the leaves green. See it in all weather. And it continues to bear fruit in old age. It continues to bear fruit. It never stops bearing fruit. That is the way it is for those who find themselves within the walls of God's, you know, tabernacle. Praise God. So you see a tabernacle here. This is the structure of a tabernacle. And, you know, I wonder if you look at this structure here, because this is the tabernacle actually, this covered piece here. Can you see what is inside here? It's hidden. Everything that is inside here is hidden from the comprehension of the people that are outside, isn't it? Yes. What you see is just simply objects that are made of bronze or brass. Not brass, actually. Brass is inferior material. It's material that was very inferior in those days. It was very common. And it's material that rusts very easily. See, God just, all the furniture in the outer court, that is the outer court, the space reserved around the tabernacle, was made of pure brass or overlaid with pure brass, showing the corruptible nature of things that are without the tabernacle. Without the tabernacle is the dimension. This is the realm where men live in this world today. Men are all outside. They live in a consciousness that is without the tabernacle. Praise God. Because we are beginning to understand that today, that this is the tabernacle of God. How many of us realize this is a house? This is a house. Our body is a house. You know that? We are all like houses, eh? Praise God. We are actually like the house of God. We are actually the temple of God. Paul says that, don't you know that you are the temple of God? This thing comes by revelation. This thing comes by divine inspiration. This revelation today. Don't you know that you are the temple of God? Praise God. You know, in the Middle East, they are still fighting over temples and, you know, over holy lands. If you go to India, they are still fighting over holy lands and, you know, between the Hindus and the Muslims, the Muslims and the Hindus, the Arabs and the Jews and the Arabs. Even in Africa, you have disputes over holy lands and over temples. See, but Jesus Christ declared that God dwelt in him, that he was the temple of God. The era of temples is over. Because God simply used the construction of the temple and the tabernacle of old to simply educate us and instruct us about who we are. Because man has forgotten completely who he is. Man has forgotten the kind of stuff he's made of. Man has forgotten his origin in God. See, and this ignorance in man, in the heart of man, is what constitutes the fear and the torment and the hellish state and condition that man is in today. As long as man continues to believe that he has a personality that is separate and apart from God, he's subject to the power of hell. Praise God. So God wants to reunite us to this, with this understanding that we are actually the embodiment of his own self. As long as a man walks in carnality, as long as a man walks in the revelation, or rather the darkness of this age, he is like those who live without the tabernacle, outside the tabernacle. And as long as you're outside the tabernacle, you cannot see the glory of God. Jesus Christ says, you must what? Born again. Born again before you can what? See the kingdom of God. You must be born of water and spirit before you can enter the kingdom of God. You cannot even see what is inside here unless there is a change in your way of thinking. There has to be a renewal in the mind of man. Because man's mind is subject to what? Vanity. Man's mind is subject to a corruptible world. The mind of a carnal man is what? Is fixed on the temporal outer order. Praise God. And you know, when you are waking, when you are awake, you just discover that this whole natural realm is an illusion. There is a spiritual dimension, a spiritual realm that is eternal, and there you find the beauty and the perfection of God. See, God never created man to be a terrestrial creature, a beast. God created man is what? In his image and in his likeness. And God is spirit. See, the corruption and the wickedness and all the evil we see reigning in this world today is because man has sought to change that original design. See, when Adam reigned in glory, Adam was a spiritual being. Praise God. Adam walked as a spiritual being, but in the descent, in the transgression, that changes and Adam now becomes a terrestrial being, a carnal being, a mortal being, a corruptible creature. And Adam now loses all sense of that light spiritual body that he has within him. Praise God. It was in the transgression that this covering came over man, this veil that we see over here. You remember when Adam transgressed, the Bible says that God made a coat of skin and clothed Adam with a coat of skin. That coat of skin actually hides to this very day the light body, the spiritual incorruptible body that is within man. Because man walks about thinking that this is his body. Isn't it? Yes. When you look at yourself, you think this is your body. Yes. No. With inside you, there is an eternal, spiritual, incorruptible body. See it? It's a light body. A body that can never pass away and that can never perish. Praise God. It's a body that is not subject to time. It's a body that is not subject to any form of, limitedness that is associated with this natural realm. It's a spiritual body, a boundless body, immeasurable body. Hallelujah. Incorporeal body. That body rests within every man. And as long as a man does not discover that body or does not realize this mystery, he's walking in darkness. He's dead. You see it? See, to be dead is to be spiritually unaware. See, to be dead is to walk in the illusion that you are, a creature of the earth, of the dust. Praise God. So God is now awakening us to what is within us. See, this structure, I'm going to remove these layers of skin, thick skin. And as I remove this thing, you begin to see the beauty of God begins to emerge. This skin here talks of the consciousness of flesh and blood. You can see red. Flesh and blood. Flesh and blood talks of the carnal, natural mind of man. You see it? The natural mind of man is a mind that is fixed on the material world. It's fixed on the natural carnal realm, just like the beast. See, but we are not born to live that way. Praise God. So I remove these three first layers, and what we see now is a very fine material with design of angels over it. See, what people are seeing is exactly the way the tabernacle of God was in the wilderness. This was exactly the way it was. And God has his purpose for making this tabernacle. He wants to teach us about something within us that we have forgotten. So this covering here, the first covering, that is this light, beautiful covering with angels, decoration of angels, that is cherubims. Cherubims are angels. Angels are cherubims. See, this was the last covering over the tabernacle. It represents the state that of every man that enters into this tabernacle. Anybody who enters into this place, see it, has to be conformed to the spiritual celestial image. You know, angels are spirits. You know that? Angels are spirits. The Bible says that he makes his angels spirits. Praise God. And anybody today who is glorified by God begins to transcend that realm of the natural back into the spirit. You know, Jesus Christ confessed in the days of his ministry that I am not of this world. See it. I am from above and you are from beneath. That's what he told them. He said, I am from above, you are from beneath. I am not of this world. He was telling them that he's not of this material world. He's of a spiritual kingdom. See what you see when he says above, he's talking in terms of spirituality, that he's from a spiritual kingdom, not from a natural carnal kingdom. You are from beneath, I am from above. See it, we must all understand that our true image from the beginning of the world is a purely celestial image. God created every man perfect. Every man perfect. See, and that thing, that image of God in every man remains in every man. See, but man has to awake to realize it. This is what they call spiritual death. If you are unaware of your spirituality, you are what? You are dead. See, but the Bible says that the hour comes when those who are sleeping in their graves, we hear the voice of what? Of Christ. They will hear the voice of truth and they will begin to awake from their graves. See, when you awake from the grave, you come out of the dungeon, the darkness of this age. You come out of the realm of the dead and you now begin to walk in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You begin to realize your immaculate nature. Remember the other day we had a meeting here and Daddy saw a vision of a man who's supposed to be Christ, you know, with the garments, white garments, glittering garments, and he was showing the garment. That image, that garment is within you and I. Within every man there is that light image, but it's what he's dormant. As man sleeps, that image is within man but dormant. Praise God. You see, the work that God is doing today in his people is simply causing an awakening to the reality of who you are. See, God is not here to change you. He's not here to add to what he has created in you or to remove what he has created in you. But he's here to unveil, that is, show you who you truly are. What, you see, in the darkness of this age, that knowledge of who we are was lost. Praise God. So there's now the voice of the resurrection. When we enter into this tabernacle, we enter in as celestial creatures. That's why he said you must be born again. Flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Aren't these the words of Jesus? Jesus Christ says flesh and blood cannot what? Inherit kingdom, God's kingdom. Only spirit can inherit God's kingdom because God's kingdom is spirit. The mortal creature cannot inherit the immortal. Neither can corruption inherit incorruption. There must be a transformation, and the transformation actually starts off in the mind. See, the mind, there has to be an awakening, a shift from the consciousness of the dead, that material consciousness, back into the spiritual consciousness. Praise God. When you begin to walk in the spirit, recognizing your true inner man. Paul calls him the inner man. See, him that is created perfect in the image of him that created him. Praise God. Because that inner man, that celestial man, that spiritual man, is actually created in the image of God. Praise God. So we must realize, but first of all, you hear these things and you now begin a confirmation, an ascent, an awakening. Praise God. If you want to seek perfection, satisfaction, if you want to seek the all power that God assigned to you from the foundation of the world, you must realize your celestial state within you. Praise God. It all comes by awakening in the spirit. You see, at times you see some people, they manifest all kind of attributes on the outward. See it? You can see people who are attached to different religions, Muslims, Christians, Buddhas, and whatever. You can see somebody who is who calls himself a pagan. You can see somebody who is a drug addict, who is a killer, a murderer. No matter the outer manifestation of a man, it does not change what is inside of him. But the man will go on suffering as long as he's ignorant of who he truly is. Praise God. It is the ignorance of man that drives man out of fear to do certain things they do. See, but when a man awakes and discovers himself in the likeness of God, praise God, he will find the true satisfaction, you know, and righteousness that he needs. Praise God. So God is showing us a new world. Praise God. What we can see here is something that is made of what? Pure gold, isn't it? Everything outside is bronze or whatever, or brass, inferior material. But that which is underneath the material or the layers of material is a structure of what? Pure gold. And like we say, gold talks of what? Something that is eternal. Amen? This place, this tabernacle had two compartments, which is the soul and the spirit within every man. Praise God. The soul and the spirit that is within every man. And God says that the soul and the spirit within every man is what? Eternal. It can never be destroyed forever. It's eternal and eternal and eternal and eternal. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us to rediscover divinity within us. Because right there within the tabernacle, within this house here, the glory of God was found in the form of a cloud. There you had the ark of God. You see it? In the smaller compartment. The smaller compartment is actually the holies of holies, which represents the spirit of man. The spirit of man is the pure, immaculate part of man, which we call Christ. Praise God. And that is where God's presence dwells. God's presence was always in this place in the form of a cloud. See it? A cloud by day and fire by night. This was the ark of God that was in the tabernacle of God. This is the word the Bible calls the secret place of what? The Most High God. Have you heard of the secret place of the Most High? Yes. Psalm 91. The secret place of the Most High God. This is the place where God, you know, hides his faithful under the shadow of his wings. You see the wings of the angel? They were here in this place. See, it is the realm of the spirit, the dimension of the spirit. God expects that every man should recognize the inner man within himself, which is the spiritual being. Praise God. It's only in awakening to the reality of the inner man of the spirit, we can rediscover our oneness with God. The Bible says that those that are in the flesh, that is those without this tabernacle, those who live without this tabernacle, outside this tabernacle, cannot please God. They cannot in any way be, you know, subject to the laws of God. The law of God was in this ark, the tables of stone with the Ten Commandments was inside the ark. And the ark was in this holies of holies. Praise God. So you can see that God, the original design is that the Ten Commandments or the commandments of God are purely spiritual and they can be fulfilled by only those who walk in the spirit. Like I said, this is the spirit. This is the inner man of the inner part of man. God dwells in your spirit. You see it? That is why you see at times you manifest certain things in you, isn't it? that is like God, isn't it? Over the course of your life, you might have manifested some kind of strange spiritual power. Or some kind of, you know within you there's something different, something hidden within you. Praise God. But God is educating us today that within man, within the spirit of man, there's the totality of everything that you ever need. What a man needs to do is to be born again. Man begins to awaken to the reality of the life within him. Man begins to walk in the spirit, no more according to the outer. The outer is the temporal world that is passing away. Here today, gone tomorrow. Praise God. But this realm here is a realm that is there forever. And this is the realm where man lives in the presence and in the glory of God. The Bible says in his presence is what? The fullness of joy. In his presence is the fullness of joy. In his presence is the fullness of the peace and the satisfaction we need. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So we are moving on here. Now, in the original design, when God created man, actually the soul was married to the spirit. Are we listening? Yes. We are hearing the model, the marriage model that was from the beginning. That is the soul, this is the holy place, the bigger part of the tabernacle, and this holies of holies, the smaller part, was fused together in one in what is called spiritual marriage. Amen? Amen. Our soul represents the church, praise God, which is actually the soulmate of Christ the Spirit. The original design that God intended for us is that we are married and, you know, fused in one with Christ the Spirit. You know that in the transgression of man, what happens is that man and the soul, the spirit of the spirit Christ and the soul of man go through what they call a divorce. Because the soul of man is now married to the flesh in what Paul terms fornication. See, Paul says that the original design is that we are one spirit with Christ. See it. He that is joined to Christ is what? One spirit, one spiritual body. But in the transgression, we see another thing occurring. That is, this soul becomes separated from the spirit. That's why there was a veil. Have you heard of the veil? There was a veil, a very thick separation between the holies of holies and the holy place in the old tabernacle of old, which showed the separation between the soul of man and the spirit of God. So all along we have lived as if we were separate from God. There was a wall of separation between us and God. The Bible calls it a wall of enmity. We've always looked at God as something far away. We've always looked at God as something checking us out to punish us. We've always looked at God as something that we have to burn sacrifices onto and to please and to, you know, something, a kind of master, so to say, a figure that far away, unreachable. Because there has been a veil, a thick veil between us in our mind that was erected in our minds in a transgression. A thick veil that you cannot even see beyond. First of all, there is a veil from without, the covering of the tabernacle. Then, in the heart, there is another veil that causes us to be totally blinded to the presence and the reality of our oneness with God. But something happened on the day of that Jesus Christ died. The Bible says that the moment Jesus Christ gave us the gift, that curtain, that veil, that veil that separated the holies of holies and the holy place was what? Torn into two by invisible hands. Meaning that separation between soul and spirit, between the holy place and the holies of holies, is no more. See, the work of God, ultimate work of God, is to cause every man to become once more aware of that union that he had with God from the foundation of the world. See, so that the two shall become one. No more two. No more one God there and, you know, I here. But our identity is swallowed up in that of God. The Bible says that Noah walked with God for what? 300 years. And he was taken away. He was not. Meaning that Noah ceased to, Enoch ceased to exist. After he walked closely with God for 300 years, the Bible says he was taken away. Meaning that he was absorbed in God. He did not die. He was translated. This is the same thing that occurs in every man that approaches God. Every man that has this revelation today. Hallelujah. For the, you know, everything that is within us will be put under the feet of Christ. So that only Christ and Christ alone reigns in us. And when this is accomplished, the Bible says that the kingdom, that is we, are handed over to God. So that God becomes what? All in all. There is no more Trevor. See, there is no more Nanny, no more any identity apart from God. Because we are absorbed into that glory cloud of God. Praise God. You know the glory cloud was in the holies of holies? Praise God. There was a cloud here, glory cloud. Paul says that we shall be caught up to meet the Lord in a cloud, which is like the rapture. The rapture theory. Have you heard of the rapture before? There's a belief in the church that, you know, a trumpet will blow one day and suddenly everybody will fly away and they will meet the Lord in the cloud. Because Paul wrote in a letter that the hope of every child of God, our hope, our consolation, is to be caught up to meet the Lord in the cloud. So people turn, you know, liking that scripture to a natural event. Not understanding that these are spiritual phenomena. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul was talking of a spiritual event that occurs as we are swallowed up into the glory of God. See, as the trumpet sounds, what you are hearing today is the trumpet. I'm not speaking with the voice of a man. I'm speaking from the throne of God. I'm speaking with the tongue of God. I'm speaking with the voice of the Spirit. I'm speaking with the voice I heard from within the veil, not with the voice of man. What I speak today is not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God, the invisible God. And that voice is the last trumpet. It's the voice of truth calling the saints to come back into the presence of God. In Adam, we all descended. In Adam, we left the presence of God. But God is calling his children back home. You know when your children have played and time comes in the evening, the father comes out to call his children back home. Right now, God is calling his saints back home to come back into that glory, into that glory cloud. Praise God. And when we enter into that glory cloud, we cease to be. See, in the cloud, we are dissolved. Even Jesus, at the end of his ministry, the Bible says he was taken up into a cloud. Have you read that before? It's in the book of Acts. When Jesus Christ finished his ministry as he blessed his disciples, the Bible says that he was lifted up in a cloud. Praise God. This is the same destination for every man. Meaning that he was absorbed. He was swallowed up in the glory of God. So people are still waiting to touch Jesus anymore. To touch Jesus and to see him in the flesh. But they don't realize that he's no more. See, if you want to see Jesus, you better look in the spirit and begin to recognize him in the spirit. Because that flesh body is no more. It was just a temporal body that he used for a season. See, it was that, you know, material made of brass without that he used for a moment. In likewise manner, we must drop these temporal bodies, praise God. And one day, every man must awaken to the reality that he has a spiritual eternal body. That we are spirits. We are in the likeness of God, in the image of God. We are incorruptible, we are immortal. We cannot die. Amen. Praise God. Amen. See, but if you want to truly enjoy life, if you want to really enjoy the boundless and, you know, unlimited nature of the glory of God, one has to be born again. Man must begin to walk according to the truth. Man must begin to recognize the material, the substance is made of. Praise God. If you want to escape the corruption, if you want to escape the wickedness, if you want to escape the weakness of man, you must discover the inner part, the inner body, which is this divine structure here, made of gold, the soul and the spirit. Praise God. And this soul and spirit must merge in one, in marriage, so that we are one spirit, eternally speaking. Praise God. We are immeasurable, boundless, timeless, incorruptible, incorporeal. Praise God. We are everything that God is. The very attributes of God flowing, because we are an integral part of the living God. 1 John chapter 5, a scripture I've quoted several times here. It says that Jesus Christ came for one thing. That's to give us understanding. See, this is the understanding that the world lacks. 1 John chapter 5. He has come to give us an understanding. See, that we may come to know him that is true. See, that we may come to know him that is true. Now, him that is true means that the true creature of God. Because before now, every man has not known the true creature of God. Rather, we have known the lie. See, when you awake up, when you awake one day, you discover that you don't even exist. You never existed. Amen. When you wake up one day, you discover that there's only one that exists, which is Christ. See, he has come to give us understanding of him that is true, and that we are all an integral part of him that is true. We are all an integral part of the body of the Lord. The body of the Lord is a body with many members, innumerable members. See, it is a spiritual body, you know, with innumerable members. You know, when one spiritual body with many spirits in that one body, that's the body of Christ. See, Jesus Christ says that, Paul says that, John says that, he has come to give us understanding, that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true. This is the true God and eternal life. See, in him is invested the fullness of God. In him is invested the totality of the Godhead. It has pleased God that the Godhead dwells in him. John the Baptist says that what? He's anointed with the Spirit of God without measure. The fullness of the Spirit of God dwells in him without measure. And we all are part of that body. But we must awaken to this reality. See, if a man lives his life outside and does not realize the stuff he's made of, it's just like passing through the world, you know, and he just goes off like that. But when we hear the voice of truth and we allow a steering to occur in us, praise God, and ask the Father, show us this mystery. Show us the mystery of this pearl of great price hidden within me. Praise God. You can see that the salvation of God is not something that we look for without. No, people run to and fro looking for something without, but it's not there. See, Jesus Christ says they will tell you that he's there. They will tell you go to that place, he's there. He said, don't follow them, it's not anywhere. It's all within you. Praise God. Amen. This is the structure here. That's the thing I just wanted to talk about today. See it. Dad saw a vision of the palm tree, and the palm tree, like I said, was in the tabernacle, in the temple. They were designed along the inner wall of the temple, you see palm trees, which talks of, you know, people are trees, men are trees. You know that? Spiritually speaking, men are trees. Eh? God, in the spiritual sense, God uses trees to describe men. By their fruits, you will know them. See, the spiritual tree, like the palm tree, will produce good fruits continuously. But you have bad fruit, bad trees, that produce thorns. Thorns and poisonous fruits. Those are the trees without. But the trees within are full of fruits, full of life, full of sap. Praise God. These are the trees that grow in the presence of God, in the knowledge of the inner man, in the knowledge of truth. Praise God. This inner place, you know, have you ever asked, do you wonder how this inner place, if this place was covered like this with dark, with this cloth, it would mean that inside was dark, isn't it? So what kind of light did they use? What was the light that they used within this to see? There was a candle, a golden candlestick with seven branches. Have you seen this in the Hebrew? Yes, you see this all over the Hebrew. This is the golden candle lampstand, you know. And it's symbolic of the seven spirits of God, which is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that illumines the inner part of this, the first part of this place. This was the light, this was the structure that gave light to the people that entered here. This particular candle, seven lights. Praise God. Meaning that those who walk in this place, they live by another type of light, not the natural light of this world. Not after the wisdom of this age. They live by the spirit and the wisdom that comes from above, from God. Spiritual wisdom. Not the natural wisdom. The natural wisdom will only cause a man to see that thing which is what? Outside. Isn't it? The natural man is only, he thinks of, you know, his stomach, isn't it? He thinks of his own belly. And he thinks of his outer body, and he thinks of the life in this world. He does not see beyond. He's short-sighted. See, but when you enter into this dimension, you are illumined by the Spirit of God, and you begin to see even beyond the natural. You begin to pierce through the Spirit, and you begin to understand the secret things of God. Those who walk in this dimension walk according to the wisdom of the ages to come by the Spirit of God. They don't walk according to the spirit of man. The spirit of man is the spirit, I'm talking about the spirit of natural man, is a spirit actually that just causes man to live like the beast of the field. You know the beast too? The beast too is concerned about his body. It's about what he will eat, you know? How he will survive. That's all. But the beast has no ability to reach out to God. The beast has no ability to walk as God. See, the beast has no ability to exhibit the celestial attributes of God. It's only man who awakens in the image of God that can walk as God walked. Before I round up, I'll just quote a promise from the scripture. The Bible says that even though we have all walked as men of what? Terrestrial men. We have all lived according to that image of the natural. We have all lived according to the image of the natural, of the beast. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly. God's promise to every man is that we will all be transformed, one way or the other. But the earlier a man does this, the better for himself, for him. So that he doesn't have to go through the pains and sorrows associated with humanity. Praise God. If you discover yourself in a celestial man, the man from heaven, the Bible calls him the Lord from heaven, the Lord of glory. That is the image that we are all going to bear at the end of the day, no matter whether a man likes it or not. And when we walk in the image of the heavenly, we walk exactly as Jesus walked. We walk in that, you know, unlimited blessings that Jesus walked in. We walk in that unlimited power that Jesus walked in. You see, contrary to what people think, you know, Jesus Christ did not come to preach himself. He didn't come to preach himself after the natural birth, after the exterior part of himself, no. He came rather to reveal the life that is in you and I. The miracles are simply to show us and act as pointers to the way of life within us. See, Jesus Christ came to reveal Christ in you. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the light, he's revealing a personality within you, which is the image of God, that is the way, the truth, and light. The way, the truth, and the life is your true identity. Your true, incorruptible, only mortal self that is hidden within you. Every man has to discover it. Every man has to search it out, this mystery out. Every man has to awaken to this reality. For this is the thing that will open the door to God's eternal kingdom. These things are real. God has showed us, we have seen, we have tasted of it, and it's true. See, that this world that we see is just temporal, a world of shadows. See, you see something and it looks as if it's there, but when you look again, you see it no more there. See it? See, but there's a dimension that is real, eternal. A dimension that, you know, a man can walk in perfection. A dimension in which a man can walk in the fullness of unlimited blessing, boundless, flowing in life and in goodness of God. So let us awaken. This is the hour. Paul says that we should walk at our salvation with fear and trembling. It's the duty of every man to walk out his salvation for himself. Nobody can work it out for you. See, every man has to hear for himself and enter in for himself. Praise God. Amen. Remember Noah? Noah entered the ark. This is the ark. That was all a shadow. God used all that to teach us how Noah entered into the secret place. And Noah entered into the spirit. Noah left the vanities of this age and entered into the ark. The ark is Christ. And what happens? Noah was ushered him into another world, into another realm, upon the mountain peaks of Zion, where God's kingdom is situated. But what happened to those who were around him, who did not understand the signs of the time? What happened to them? They were swept away with the floods. Praise God. The floods are here. The flood is the lies. See, when a man does not receive the truth, he's taken away with the lie. You see, and he's carried away, he's swept away with the lie. See, but that those who will, while the world is partying and going about their way, there's the people who are struggling, who are, how do I say it, working out their salvation with fear and trembling. You work out your salvation by receiving these words of truth and allowing these words of truth to lead you on. A confirmation in meditation day and night, in waiting on the Lord, in fasting and in prayers, waiting on the Lord, waiting for the unveiling of this thing that the Lord has showed you. Because he will never disappoint those who wait on him. Praise God. Let us be like the psalmist who says that I will enter his courts with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his gates with praise. It's here. Praise God. One day in your house is better than what? 1,000 years anywhere else. This is the inner places of God, the inner courts of God. Amen.
As he was about to round up the word, I saw the chicken and the children following it.
You saw a chicken with chicks. Amen. Now, do you know what that means? We just briefly touch about the secret place of God. And I told you that over the ark, there were two cherubims with their wings spread over the ark. You know it? And, you know, symbolically, when Noah entered the ark, symbolically, he was under the protection and covering, divine covering of God, under the arms of the Almighty. See, Psalm 91 says that he will what? Hide you under the feathers of his wing. Those that dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. The chicken, see, it normally hides her chicks underneath her to protect them against the storm and to give them warmth and to supply for their every need. Even Jesus, when he walked by Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that rejected him, he wept and cried, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how I had wanted to carry you and put you under me like a hen will gather her chicks under her, but you refused." So you can see God is showing us through that vision that he's calling us, you know, to come under the protection of his wings. Amen. Eternal protection. Eternal protection. Not just protection for a moment, but eternal. Those that find themselves here will never taste of death. The faithfulness of God will guide them eternally. Amen.